Today our text will be Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. It's printed in your bulletin. Today I will wrap up my series on spiritual weariness. We have already examined two causes of weariness. The first one is heavy burden, the hard work that we have to undertake. And the second one is divine discipline, the difficult circumstances that God has brought upon us. And today we will examine another cause, the more fundamental cause of weariness, and that is the disconnection from God, our separation from God. So now please pay attention to the Word of God. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of God, and let's pray for our understanding of his word. Oh Lord our Father, we thank you for giving us your word, and I pray for wisdom to understand your word, and we pray for willingness to receive your word. And we also pray for our love of your word and our obedience to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the first things I knew when I came to America was that I needed a car. Quite different from China, in America, I needed a car basically for going anywhere. The car is essential for surviving in the United States. Well, as a student, I didn't have much choice. I could only afford a modest car that could meet my basic needs. But what I've always wanted to get is a hybrid car, a car that will allow me to switch at the proper time between two types of power, either gas or electricity. If I need to maintain high speed, I can count on the gasoline engine to provide strong power. But if I need to slow down, I can switch to the electric mode to improve fuel efficiency. This is a genius idea, isn't it? It may be a genius design for a car, but when we try to apply this idea to ourselves, it proves foolish and tragic. And this is often what we are trying to do. We imagine that if we can combine two sources of power, the power of ourselves and the power of God, then we can achieve anything, any desired outcome. For the most of time, we trust in our own strength, glory in our own might. But when we are frustrated and exhausted, we turn to God and seek his strength. But as soon as we are out of trouble, we switch back to the self-powered mode. But we must realize that we are not hybrid cars. We do not function like this. For God calls us to rely on Him with a pure heart, to trust in Him with all our beings. And in our passage today, the prophet Isaiah tells us, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." To wait for the Lord is not to push a button and expect to receive the divine power immediately. To wait for the Lord is to wait continually, to resist every temptation of turning back to our own strength. To wait for the Lord is to wait patiently, to acknowledge that God will send us His power at His appointed time. And to wait for the Lord is to wait eagerly, to look forward to the glorious moment when God will renew our strength, when we shall mount up with wings like eagles. So brothers and sisters, keep up on your own strength. Break off your reliance on your own power. Wait for the Lord. Wait continually. Wait patiently. Wait eagerly. Wait for His strength alone. If you still go on with the hybrid mode and hold to your own power, you will soon run out of your gas and get stuck. But if you wait for the Lord, if you wait for the Lord alone, you shall renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. So now before we dive deeper into our passage, let me give you my outline. There are three simple propositions, three statements that you can find directly in our text. Proposition number one, God does not faint or be weary. Proposition number two, all men shall faint and be weary. And proposition number three, you shall not faint or be weary. Let me say that again. God does not faint or be weary. All men shall faint and be weary. But you shall not faint and be weary. So now let's look at proposition number one. God does not faint or grow weary. Notice verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So God does not faint or be weary because of His identity, because of who He is. He is the everlasting God, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable Spirit. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to Him, 1,000 years are just like a watch in the night. How could this God faint or grow weary? And He was also the creator of the ends of the earth, the upholder of the whole universe. He stretched out the heavens like a curtain. He laid the foundation of the earth. He calls the stars each by name, and he measures the oceans in the hollow of his hand. How could this God faint or be weary? Surely the people of God should have known this. Surely they should have heard that their God does not faint or grow weary. But surprisingly, they do not understand this. So in verse 27, Jacob says, "My way is hidden from the Lord." And Israel speaks, "My right is disregarded by my God." Note here that the people of Israel are not saying that God is hidden from them and that God denies their right. But what they are saying is that my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God. The Hebrew verb that is translated here as to be disregarded originally means to pass over. And some translation of this verse reads, "My right escapes the notice of my God." So is there any difference between these two expressions? The Lord is hidden from me, and my way is hidden from the Lord. They both express the sense of being separated from God. But the first expression is a biblical one, which recognizes that God is playing an active role when he hides his presence from his people, when he denies the right of his people. But the second expression, which says, "My way is hidden from the Lord," is to be rebuked, for it portrays God as a passive character who is either ignorant or impotent. "Oh, my God must be weary. He must be too weary to open his eyes and watch my way. My God must be fainting so that he cannot stretch out his hand to defend my right." And this is how the people of Israel think of their God. But why do they think of God in this way? Do they not know that God is the everlasting God? Do they not understand that God is the creator of the ends of the earth? How could he faint or grow weary? Surely they know this, but their misery overshadows their knowledge of God. Their distress distorts their view of God. Starting from Isaiah 40, the prophet is no longer addressing the people of his own time. Instead, he starts to speak to a future generation, to those Jewish exiles who shall be taken to Babylon. So these exiles, in captivity, they cry, "My way is hidden from the Lord." In affliction, they moan, "My right is disregarded by my God." In misery, they forget that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. They forget that God does not faint or be weary. Brothers and sisters, are you letting your circumstance distort your view of God? We have been in this pandemic for so long. Why is God so slow to bring this to the end? Is he too weary to do anything? Is he sleeping and doesn't know our distress? Or does he even care about us? But we need to look away from our temporary circumstance. And we need to meditate on God's unchangeable identity. He is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Of course, he does not faint. Of course, he cannot grow weary. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Surely, the God of Jacob will renew the strength of Jacob. Surely, the Holy One of Israel will restore the fortune of Israel. But before he acts, we must wait. We must wait for him continually. We must wait for him eagerly. We must wait for him patiently. We must wait for the Lord, not for the vaccine or any other resources. And now proposition number 2. All men shall faint and be weary. Look at verse 30. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. By youth and young men, the prophet is referring to those who are the most vigorous and energetic among all humans. But even they shall faint and be weary. I have 3 kids, 3 restless boys who likes running and jumping all the time. It's always a challenge to put them to bed at night. Tirelessly, they will demand one story after another, until Amy or I could not keep our eyes open to finish the story. But the Lord's Day is quite a different thing. After sitting through the morning and evening services, after spending a lot of time playing and running outside, when we get home, even when we are still having supper, they start rolling their eyes and nodding their heads. And as soon as they finish their plates, they will go quietly to their bedroom and fall asleep right away. Now I know that even young boys who have so much energy shall faint and be weary. And does not the Bible also tells us that even strong men and mighty warriors shall be weary? Remember Esau, the brother of Jacob, a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But when he came home from the field, he was weary. And he said, I am exhausted. I am about to die. So he sold his birthright for a single meal. Remember also Sisera, the oppressor of Israel, the commander of a great army of 900 chariots. But when he fled away from the battlefield to the tent of Jael, he fell fast asleep from weariness. So Jael hammered a peg into his temple, and he died in his sleep. How about Moses, whose hands has performed numerous miracles, but even the hand of Moses grew weary in the war with Amalek, that he needed other people to help him hold up his hands. How about David, who had killed Goliath the giant? But even David became exhausted in his battle against the Philistines, that he almost fell by the sword of Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of the giants. No wonder the prophet Isaiah cries at the beginning of chapter 40, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Surely all of us are grass and flowers. That's why we shall faint and be weary. We shall wither and fade. But God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. So he does not faint or be weary, and his word will stand forever. So this passage is speaking to you, young men and young women. Do not trust in your youth. Do not boast about your strength. Do not say in your heart that I am young and strong, and the virus cannot kill me. So I will go to bars and parties. I will laugh at all the precautions and restrictions. I will find every opportunity to give vent to my energy and passion. Let this verse humble you. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. And let this verse instruct you, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. But this passage is also speaking to you who are sick or old. For if there is no reason to trust in one's youth or strength, then neither is there any reason for you to be troubled by your age or weakness. For those who wait for the Lord, in spite of their gray hair and dim eyes, shall renew their strength. Those who wait for the Lord, in spite of their weak arms and feeble knees, shall mount up with wings like eagles. And this leads to our final proposition. You shall not faint or be weary. Look at verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So you shall not faint or be weary. Because there's a sort of strength different from the natural strength of human being, a renewed and increased strength, a rising and soaring strength, an unwearying and unfading strength, the strength that comes from the Lord. But not everyone has access to this secret power. Only those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Only those who rely on the Lord shall receive their strength from above. This everlasting strength of God, this infinite power of the Almighty. Do you want to be carried by the mighty arms of God? Wait for the Lord. Do you want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Wait for the Lord. Do you want to stand in the strength of the Lord Jesus? Wait for the Lord. Wait until we read this central message of Isaiah 40. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. But you may ask, how long should I wait for the Lord? When will he reveal his power and renew my strength? Oh, do you not know that God is waiting for you? God is waiting to be gracious to you. God is waiting to pour out His eternal power upon you. God is waiting to clothe you with His majestic strength. But you may ask, why should God wait for me? Look at verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. So what is God waiting for? He is waiting for you to faint, so that He may give power to you. He is waiting for you to lose all your might, so that He may increase strength to you. God is waiting for you, because though you have little strength, you are still relying on your own strength. You are still trying to accomplish things by your own might. You are still not willing to acknowledge your complete weakness and surrender to the power of God. Yes, you know that you need the strength of God, but you are not ready to let go your own strength. O you jars of clay, how long will you hold onto your fake jewelry and cheap marbles? When are you going to empty yourself so that God can fill you with His true treasure, His precious gems and pearls? O you the double-minded, how long will you act like the hybrid car, switching between two types of power? When are you going to drain your tank so that God may pump into you His inexhaustible fuel? Yes, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you to faint and be weary. God is waiting for you to exhaust your own strength so that He may renew you with His surpassing strength, so that His power may be made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we have received the sentence of death, but that it was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." So brothers and sisters, wait for the Lord, knowing that God is also waiting for you. Wait for Him continually, praying without ceasing that you may die more and more to your confidence in your own strength. Wait for Him patiently, enduring your suffering with all joy, so that your faith in God may be pure and genuine, without any jaws of self-reliance. And wait for the Lord eagerly, boasting all the more gladly in your weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Now, let's revisit our three propositions. Proposition number one, God does not faint or be weary. Jesus is fully God, so Jesus does not faint or be weary. Isaiah 42 verse 4 says, "He will not grow faint or be discouraged till He has established justice in the earth." Jesus came into the world, and He set His face to go to Jerusalem, despite oppositions and threats of death. And He suffered many things. He carried His cross all the way to Calvary. He endured the shame and pain of the cross. But He did not give up His spirit on the cross until He had said, It has finished. And proposition number two. All men shall faint and be weary. And since Jesus has 40 men, so Jesus also did faint and grow weary. John 4, chapter 6 tells us that when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he became wearied from his journey. So just like us, Jesus could get hungry, thirsty, and tired. He even fell asleep in the midst of a storm when his boat was being swamped by the waves. How exhausted he must have been at that moment. Then on the cross, he was poured out like water, and his bones were out of joint. His heart melted like wax, and his strength was dried up like a potsherd. So surely Jesus did faint and grow weary, and his fainting and weariness were far beyond our experience. And proposition number three, you shall not faint or be weary. You shall not faint and be weary, because Jesus fainted and died on the cross for your sake. He denied himself the power of God when he was in his extreme weakness, in order that he may strengthen you when you are weak and needy, so that you may not faint or be weary. So to wait for the Lord is to abide in Jesus, to hold fast to Jesus. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God, so you too shall by the power of God mount up with wings like eagles, and you shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. Please join me in prayer. O Lord Almighty, the everlasting God and the creator of the ends of the earth, you do not faint or grow weary. But we are weak and weary, and we faint since we have little strength. So Lord, turn us away from our self-reliance. Turn us away from our confidence on our own strength, and establish and refine our faith in Jesus, so that the power of Christ may rest upon us, so that we may also taste the power of Christ's resurrection. O Lord, we wait for you, so please renew our strength and refresh our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.